I believe that last year when we learned together on Tisha B'Av, we got through Sim and Shin Kei Dalet, which is Hilchos Tamei Torah and Avel. So we'll pick up where we left off with Sim and Shin Pei Hei, which is Din She'elas Shalom V'Avel. Mechaber writes, Avel Aser B'Sheila Shalom. There's an Iser She'elas Shalom for an Avel. The Gemara derives this from the Pasuk of Hanekdom. Various halachos of Nihuge Avelis we learn from the Pesukim by Yecheskel. Yecheskel was told to be noheg, a kind of pseudo avelus. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel a number of the things that Yecheskel should have done during his pseudo avelus were different or the opposite of what a normal avel does. And therefore, we learn certain halachos from the opposite of what Yecheskel did or didn't do. However, this, the Isser Shela Shalom, we learn from what Yecheskel did or what Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, which was common with other avelim. And that's from the Pasuk of Hanekdom. So that may be the source for the Issa Talmud Torah as well. Gemara also learns that as the source for Sheila Shalom. Yecheska is told, be silent, Hanekdom. So what that tells us that an Avil of Aser be Sheila Shalom. Ketzad. Lo sheyamim harishonim, eino shawal b'shalom kol adam. Yemachem lo yadu shu Avil, b'shalu b'shlomo, lo yashu lehem, al yodiyem shu Avil. So the Gemara distinguishes there are certain Huge Avelus where there's a difference between the first 3 days and the end of Shiva. So this is one of them. The Gemara says, that's what the Mechaber is writing over here, that within the first 3 days, there's an absolute Isser Sheila Shalom. So no one's allowed to be Shal B'Shalom the Avel. And if someone does, then you have to stop him and tell him that you're an Avel and you're not allowed to be Meshiv Shalom either. Migimel Vad Shiva Eino Shoel. So the balance of Shiva, an Avil is not allowed to be Shaul v'shlom acherim, v'mecherim lo yadu shu Avil, v'shalom v'shlomo, meishav lehem, he is allowed to answer. So if someone doesn't realize it's an Avil, doesn't realize that it's a Sheila Shalom, and they are Shaul v'shlomo, then after the first 3 days of Avelus, the Avil is allowed to answer. Mishiva v'ashloshim Shaul v'shlom acherim, sheim shruyim v'shalom, v'en acherim shalom v'shlomo. So during the balance of Shloshim, there is no Isser for an Avil to be Shaul or Shlom Acherim because Acherim are Shruyim B'Shalom. That's okay. The other people should not ask B'Shalom the Avil. But if someone is Shaul B'Shalom the Avil, then the Avil is allowed to be Meshiv, just as he's allowed to be Meshiv during the second half of Shiva. And after Shloshim, there's no Isser Shaul Shalom at all. Medvar Murim Mishar Krovim. That's true by other relatives. Shoel b'shlom acherim acher shiva, vein acherim shalom b'shlomo ad acher yud beis chodesh. So the halachos of shloshim are extended to the entirety of yud beis chodesh for avel v'ima. Okay, and this halach is common to Tisha B'Av as well. In Hilchos Tisha B'Av Tafkuf Nun Dalid, the Mechaber writes, "Ein sheila shalom l'chaver b'tisha b'av." That yotov she'enam yodim inosim shalom mashivim lehem b'safa rafa ubekovid rosh. There's no sheila shalom on tisha b'av. If someone isn't aware of the halacha and is shalom b'shlomcha, then you should answer curtly. You should be meshiv b'safa rafa mikovid rosh, and not be any more effusive than that. So in Hilchos Tisha B'av, this is based on a tosefta. What I just read to you was the Ramah in Simen Tav Kuf Nun Dalet. Sorry, we're in Yaradeya Simen Shin Pei Hei, the Isser of Sheila Shalom. So the Ramah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av Tav Kuf Nun Dalet quotes this Isser of Sheila Shalom in Tisha B'Av. That's based on a Tosefta that says Ein Sheila Shalom L'Chaverim the Tisha B'Av U'Lehed Yo B'Safa Rafa. You can't be Shol B'Shalom Chaverim. So that may be Machlokas Rishonim whether the Isser of Sheila Shalom B'Tisha B'Av is Me'ikar Adin or Mimin Hag. On the one hand, the Gemara in Tanis does not list Sheila Shalom among the various Isurei Avelos that are Noeg on Tisha B'Av. You only have this Tosefta. Rabbi Willi pointed out the Lashon of Sheila Shalom L'Chaverim sounds like only Chaverim. Chaverim usually are Tamid HaChachamim, not for everybody else. And that's the contrast of Chaverim versus Hadyotos. But there may be Machlokas Rishonim whether the Isur Sheila Shalom on Tisha B'Av is Me'ikar Adin or only Mi Minhaga. So what exactly is Sheila Shalom? What is included in Sheila Shalom? So let's read on in the Ramah here in Sif Aleph, back in Shin Pei Hei Sif Aleph. The Ramah continues, Me'acha she'aser b'Sheila Shalom, kol she'ken she'aser l'harbas b'dvarim. Shela Shalom is a model, so to speak, for a certain hanhaga that's appropriate for an avel, that you shouldn't be marbe bidvarim. After all, the source for the Isser Shela Shalom, as we said, is Hanagom, you should be silent. So Shela Shalom is one manifestation of being silent. The Isser Shela Shalom is one manifestation of being silent, but that, and sub-level, should govern the general comportment of an avel during Shiva. So he shouldn't be marbe bidvarim either, aside from Shela Shalom. And the Tziyune Halacha, which is a sefer of Ben Tzion Cook, about the Hanhagos of Rav Yashiv, the Chitas of Rav Yashiv in Hilchos Avelos, they go and say that when Rav Yashiv was sitting Shiva, he almost said nothing. Even when people came to be Menachem, he said very little, based on this understanding of anecdote. Okay, so just give me, if you could just give me 2 minutes, I apologize. I just have to take care of one thing quickly. I'll be right back with you in 2 minutes.
You have 5 minutes.
Thanks. Okay, sorry about that. We're back. Back to the Ramah here in Sif Aleph. That if you're saying something to honor the rabbim, like go home safely, that's okay. Now the Rama writes, "V'yesh makilim ha'inna b'she'elaf b'shalom ha'avel li'achar shloshim." There are those that are makel nowadays to be shol b'shlom and avel after shlosh, meaning for avi v'imo, where the isser should be yubeis chodesh, they're those that are mekel achar shloshim, the ein tam lehem. And there's no reason that would justify such a kula. Imlo sheyichalku lomar shezemash anunogim lo mikri shel shalom, shebi meya. Unless you say that the practice to be mekel about shel shalom after shloshim assumes that our conventional greetings are not the Shela Shalom that were spoken of by Chazal and isn't really included in the Isser to begin with. So the Rama references such a practice of Bimekel on Shela Shalom after Shloshim. Says the Shas of Katan Beis, if that's the reason that our Shela Shalom is not the Shela Shalom of old, then that doesn't really justify b'mekel dafka after shloshim. Says the Shach, who be'emes ein zetam lachon, dem kein, toch lam enabi. Lama tzidu l'shem posi shil chil b'kach. If our shel shalom isn't shel shalom, so it should always be mutter. So how does that justify b'mekel dafka l'archa shloshim and not within shloshim?
I'm sorry. Can you just clarify the difference, our Shaila Shalom and their Shaila Shalom? I missed that.
I haven't discussed what ours is, what theirs is, or what anything is. Now we're still talking in the abstract, but the Rama references a minhag of b'mekel achar shloshim, and the only justification he sees for that minhag is that maybe our Shaila Shalom isn't the Shaila Shalom that the Gemara speaks of. And the Shach says, if that's the reason, then we should be Mekel Tok Shloshim also. And Lo Matzinu, anyone who's Mekel Tok Shloshim. So it happens to be that already in Rishonim, there is evidence of the Mekel on Shela Shalom. The Ritva in Moikatan says such a thing. And the Chidush Haran, even though the way the Chidush Haran says it is that people are Mekel, but it doesn't really have any justification for why people are mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan, in fact, notes that in Achanami, even Tosh Shloshim nowadays, people are mekel as per what the Ramah talks about within Yud Beis Kodesh. So what exactly is Shela Shalom? And it was included in this Isser, whether or not we're mekel or whether you should be mekel. If you look in Rabbi Kiva Eger, he quotes the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. The Magen Avraham there, that he references in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, says that there's no justification for being mako on Shela Shalom nowadays, and notes a Yerushalmi that the Torah quotes that even an expression of Shalom Aleichem would be included in the Isser of Shela Shalom. So there are potentially four categories of Shela Shalom, and you have to figure out what's included in the Isser. So one kind of Shela Shalom would be asking how someone's doing, and doing so using a Lashon of Shalom, actually using the term Shalom, Shalom be one of Shmosa Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe Dafka using the term Shalom is more Chomer. So that there's a Talmud Rashba in Moikatan that writes that any form of greeting using the term Shalom is going to be so if you say, are you Shai B'Shalom, so that's a form of Shela Shalom that is Asir. If you ask how someone's doing using the Lashon of Shalom, that's Bechal the Asir. And there's a Tshuva Avnei Nezer that is Meikul about that. Then category number two would be using the term Shalom, not in the context of a question, like Shalom Aleichem. So that's the Magen Avraham assumes that Shalom Aleichem is Asir. Or you say something like Lech L'Shalom, which the Ritva says would be Mutter. The Talmud Rashba says Lech L'Shalom is Mutter. So that's also subject to machlokes, to a machlokes, if you use the term shalom in the context of a greeting, but not in the context of a question. And then third category would be, how are you doing, or something of the sort, without using the term shalom. And the fourth category would be some kind of a greeting, like good morning or hello, that isn't a question and also doesn't use the term shalom. So the Leket Yosher, the Talmud of Tzumas HaDeshen, writes that the Tzumas HaDeshen thought it's mutter to say a Gute Nacht on Tisha B'Av, even though the Tzumas HaDeshen himself was nohei to be machmir. So that's that fourth category of a kind of pro forma pleasantry or greeting, if you will, or salutation that doesn't involve a question, doesn't involve the term shalom, like good morning or good night or even hello. So Tzumas HaDeshen thought that the Iker Adin, at least Tisak and Tisha B'Av, but presumably in Av will be the same thing, the Iker Adin is mutter, although he was machmir personally. Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that you should not say good morning on Tisha B'Av. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoting the Halicha Shlomo as saying you shouldn't say how are you on Tisha B'Av, or you shouldn't say Lehitra Ot, or something of the sort. And they quote that once Rav Shlomo Zalman greeted an Avel Tov Shloshim, and he said how are you, or Ma Shlomcha, or something of the sort. And Rav Shlomo Zalman felt bad afterwards that he caught himself that he shouldn't have said that, because he thought that how are you would be a violation of Shela Shalom, both on Tisha B'Av and for an Avel. So that's, I believe, common practice is that we avoid saying something like hello on Tisha B'Av and for an Avel as well. And whether that's Iker Adin or not may be questionable. Again, that's the Tzumas HaDeshen, and that's on the Iker Adin, it should be permissible. The Rambam, the Darkei Moshe, equates greetings for, it doesn't appear in the Hagos and Shulchan Aruch, but in the Darkei Moshe, he seems to equate greeting Shel Shalom for an Avel with what form of salutation is mutter before davening, right? You're not allowed to be a mashkim lepesach chaveira. You can't go greet someone before davening in the morning. And the Darkei Moshe seems to equate Shel Shalom with that, even though, you know, logically could have well distinguished between the two. One's a Hanukdom Halacha, or the fact that an Avil is not the Shalom B'Shalom. By the way, Shulchan says that really the essence of not being Shalom B'Shalom Avil is that it's kind of blowing Larash. You know that he's not doing well. So why are you asking the question? Why are you greeting him B'Shalom? You know he's not B'Shalom. That's like a lowing Larash. But you could have well distinguished between Shalom B'Shalom, or the scope of Shalom B'Shalom for an Avil, and Shela Shalom b'mashkev lepes b'chaver before davening, but the Ramah seems to link them. Rabbi Willie pointed out it's hard to believe that something that you say just as a shigur delishna, a good morning, a hello, that you really say without any thought, even how are you, if you don't really mean it, you just say it, it's kind of a formality, but the guy answers you, you really don't care in the least how he's doing. So something like that, it's hard to believe that Mikra Din, that's really what is included in Sheila Shalom. The Taz, actually, let's go on to Sif Gimel here.
How about Ramazim?
Ramazim, like what?
I want a wave.
I think a wave should be okay. That's not, I don't think that would have fallen into any potential category of Sheila Shalom.
You know, nonverbal. That's okay.
I would think so.
It's a Ritva here. He brings Ulananeel Chaver Barosha La Oshalom Kasav Ritva Mai Kat and Fazam and Vay Shamota.
The Deer Shemeshabur.
Yeah. What are you looking at? The Deer Shemeshabur?
Yeah. Antishabur.
With that on Kaf Aleph?
It's on Tuf Kuf Nandalad. Were you quoting?
I'm saying that the Ritva is on Daf Kaf Aleph.
Yeah, Chazainam and Bays.
That's fine. Okay. Good. So the Mechaber writes now in Sif Gimel, Malkam Shenagu Leof Sholin Bishlam Avelim Bishabis.
We have to Sif Gimel or Sif?
Sif Gimel. Shin Pehe Sif Gimel.
Okay. The Beis?
Or the Sif? I didn't read Beis. I'm not reading every Sif.
Okay. This one's mentioned.
Yeah. So Malkam Shenagu Leof Sholin Bishlam Avelim Bishabis Sholim. So where the minhag is to be shoel b'shalom aveilim b'shabbos, we are shoel. Because of a Rambam, sha'avel no sein shalom l'chol adam b'shabbos, shu mechlal dvarim shebifrahesya. So if aveil is b'frahesya is aser on Shabbos, sheel shalom would be included in aveil is b'frahesya. To not greet someone in public would be a violation of aveil is b'frahesya, and therefore greeting would be permissible in that context. Okay, then the Ramah says, "V'asir l'shloach manos la'avel al aviv al ima kol yibeis chodesh." You're not supposed to send a present to an avel toch yibeis chodesh. V'afil b'shabbos b'makom shenagu shelo lishol b'shlomo b'shabbos. And if you're in a place where the minhag is not to be shol b'shalom on Shabbos, then you shouldn't send a matana to an avel on Shabbos either. That's an extension of she'elas. Shalom. So whatever you hold about Sheila Shalom on Shabbos, that would be relevant to giving a gift to an Avel on Shabbos as well, but during the week would be problematic. So that's relevant to the question of Shalach Manus to an Avel. The Ramah writes in Hilchos, the Ramah writes in Hilchos Purim that our practice is not to send Shlach Manus to an Avel Toch Yud Beis Chodesh, based on a Maril that says that Ein Lecha Sheila Shalom Gadol Mizeh, that sending Shlach Manus to an Avel is a manifestation of a super manifestation of Sheila Shalom. Now Rav Avadia paskins, at least for Sfardim, that you could send Shalach Manos. Again, it's the Ramah that says that you don't send Shalach Manos on Purim to an Avel. Vadya Paskins for Sfardim that you can, because the Mechaber assumes that Purim has the same status as Shabbos as far as Nihugei Avela. So whatever Nihugei Avela are Usur on Shabbos are Usur on Purim. And therefore, if Sheila Shalom is Mutter on Shabbos because not doing so would be a violation of Avela's but for Hesya, then it'd be mutter to send Shalach Manus to an Avel on Purim for Sfardim. So, but the Tzak of Ashkenazim is like the Ramah, that you don't send Mishloach Manos to an Avel. An Avel sends the minimum Mishloach Manos himself in order to be Yotzei the minimum Chiyav, but you don't send Mishloach Manos to an Avel Toch Yud Beis Kodesh. It's actually interesting that the Shuvas Maimonides says that an Avel sends the minimum Mishloach Manos, but he says it to two or three people. It's interesting because the minimum Mishloach Manos is less than that. So where do two or three people come from? But we assume that you send to the minimum of Mishloach Manos to one person. Okay. There's a comment of the Taz here in Sifkat Ben Aleph. Asur l'shloach manos, kasa marichamizal the bach b'shem hagab b'shem ben Yehuda, avel toch shloshim eino yachal hazbin lacherim oli zamin imacherim. That an avel toch shloshim shouldn't invite guests, nor should he be invited to others. V'nira du'adin kol yibeis kodesh al aviv v'al ima. That an avel toch yud beis chodesh or an avel toch shloshim for shar krovim should not be invited as a guest and should not invite guests because that is a form of avelus. Now the Gemara has we may get to this a little bit later. But the Gemara has a notion of we'll talk about it in the context of simcha, which we may get to a little bit later, but there is a notion of a social meal that the Gemara discusses the distinction between pernusa and not pernusa, that there was a certain social convention where people would reciprocate meals. The Gemara says that the stam to invite someone out of context would be a violation of simchas reis, would be a violation of having an inappropriate social gathering as an avel. But if it's pernusa, if it's a kind of situation where someone had previously extended an invitation to you and you have a social obligation based on the way they operated at the time to reciprocate that invitation, so that's what the Gemara calls pernusa. That it's not a social obligation of simcha, it's simply an obligation as an obligation of pernusa. It's not something that you want to do, you just have to do. That would be permissible. But the post can say that as far as not inviting guests or not being invited as a guest, so that's where it's purely for social reasons. But if you have someone needs a place, we all have nasa zorchim. Someone needs a place to eat. You have a yosam, an almana, a yeshiva bacher, or a guest who needs a place to eat. That you're not inviting them for social reasons. You're inviting them to be mekayim the real mitzvah of hakhnasa zorchim. That would be mutter, then avil is not pater from the mitzvah of achnasas orchim. The many contemporary posts can say that even to invite a single family unit as a guest when you're an avil, even if there is a social component, that wouldn't be considered sudas mereyas, and that wouldn't be bichlal lias. Okay. In addition to the formal Shela Shalom that we're talking about over here, the Achronim discuss, Rav Schechter quotes this from the Rav, and the Aruch HaShulchan has this, and Rav Moshe had this, and Rav Avadya, that aside from the Isser Shela Shalom to extend a greeting to an Avil, or for an Avil to greet, there's also an Isser Shela Shalom Beveis Avel. There's certain halachas that apply in a Beis Avel. So a person should not greet someone else, even a non-Avel, in a Beis Avel. So if you have two people that are being Menachem and Avel, and they haven't seen each other for a while, so they shouldn't extend a greeting to each other in the Beis Avel, even if they're not addressing the Avel, so that there is an Isser Shela Shalom in a Beis Avel, independent of whether the Isser is being extended to or from the other. Okay, let's move on now to Simin Shin Pei Vav, Ativa Sarosh, the Avil. The Chaver writes, Avil Chayeb Ativa Sarosh. And Avil has to cover his head. The Hainu Sheyachas Arosha Betalis Obesudr. He has to cover his head with a talis or a cloth. The Yachsur Ksasu Al Piv Yal Rosh HaChotem. And some of it has to extend over his lip and over the top of his nose. So that's what we refer to as Atifat Yishmaelim, or something like a kafiyah. That we learn out also from Yechezkel. Hashem Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, below Satal Safam, that you shouldn't cover your upper lip, implying that a regular Avil does cover his upper lip. And that's what the Gemara says, that kol Atifa she'ena Atifat Yishmaelim ein Atifa. We talk about Atifat Sarosh, you mean the Atifa the way the Arabs cover themselves. So it's a covering that covers from the bottom of the chin up to the nose, and from the top up to the lip. Bahani mili shetzarech atifa b'chol hayom, aval kishabam menachmim etzlom megali rosh l'chvoda. So atifa is when there are no menachmim there, and when there are menachmim, you uncover a little bit l'chvoda menachmim. Says the Ramah, v'yesh omrim she'ei noagim b'medinat eilu b'atifa. We don't do this anymore. We don't do Ativa Sarosh anymore. Tosus explains on Daf Kavala for two reasons. Number one, the Nachar may think we're engaged in some kind of kisha, some kind of sorcery, some witchcraft, because they're not used to seeing people dress that way. And they're going to laugh at us because people didn't walk around medieval Europe wearing kafiyas. So if you're going to dress like that with Ativa Sarosh, everyone's going to laugh at you. So why should we care if anyone laughs at us? There are plenty of other things that people laugh at us for. It wouldn't be the first time, it wouldn't be the last time. That the Baal Yishalchan suggests, the point of the Nihugei Avelos is that the Nihugei Avelos reflect a certain Kavod Ames. Either Kavod Ames or Kavod Avelim or both. So if people are going to laugh at you for what you're doing, so there's no Kavod Ames, there's no Kavod Avelim, that's a zilzal. Just like the Gemara has the din of chalitzas kasef. The Gemara says that you have to expose your shoulder. An avil has to expose his shoulder. So we don't do that anymore either. The Ritva explains for that very reason, that there's no context in which people dress in such a fashion. So to do so would just expose you to ridicule. And that's not considered kavod ames, to put yourself in a position that you're going to be ridiculed in doing something that's supposed to be for the sake of Avelis. So that's what the Ramah says, based on the Bali Tosos, that our practice is not to do Atifas Harosh anymore, because either Kishuf or people are going to laugh at us. The Eber Bracha actually poses a question, which he doesn't know the answer to. The Eber Bracha of Aryeh Pomeranchuk was the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, who came to Eretz Yisrael, I believe, in the late 20s, early 30s. He passed away at a very young age. But he wrote the Emek Bracha. So he has a comment there. He's read in Eretz Yisrael. He says he doesn't understand why in Eretz Yisrael people don't do Ativa Sarosh. So in Nela, in Europe, no one wore kafiyas, so it looks strange. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are plenty of people who wear kafiyas. So why would it be so odd to engage in Ativa Sarosh? No one's going to think it's kishuf. No one's going to think no one's going to laugh at you. So he leaves that as a question, but Lamaisa, even in Eretz Yisrael, I don't believe anyone engages in the traditional Ativa Sarosh of Chazal as an Avil. However, the Shach has the following comment, Sifkat and Aleph. Niu yesh linog batifa ksas, that you should be knowing batifa ksas, the hainu limshal hakova lamata lifnei hainayim. You should lower the brim of your hat further down than normal. It should go in front of the eyes. The Shach says that even if we don't, if not knowing the formal Atifas Yishma'elim, but it's still appropriate to put the brim of your hat down. The Shach says that's what you should do. Rosh HaShulchan says, if possible, that's what you should do. Baal Yishalcha notes that many people don't do this. He observes that this doesn't seem to be common practice. He doesn't know why. in the Tziyuni Halacha, they quote from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv thought that absolutely an Aval has to do this. And if anyone doesn't wear his hat in that position, then he's doing Shalom Kedin. And he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, even if you don't, you never wear a hat. The Shabara hat for someone else, an Aval Shabara hat, so that he could have a hat to do this kind of Sudo Atifas Yishmelim. But he also goes from Rabbi Yashiv that if you have a big yarmulke, maybe that's enough also. You have a big yarmulke, you stick the yarmulke down right above your eyes, but maybe that would be a kiyum as well. I think the first time I ever noticed anyone with this hanhaga of the hat brimmed down above the eyes was when I was Menachem Aval by Rabbi Sachs 25 years ago when his father passed away, and I was in the shir that year. Rav Schachter, when he was sitting Shiva, was noted this way. Rabbi Willig was not. So there seem to be different practices as to whether this is necessary. The Birka Yosef comments over here on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch that even though the Mechaber says that you do Atevi Sishma Elim when the Menachemim were not there, and when the Menachemim are there, then you lower it a bit in order to give kavod to the Menachemim. But the Birka Yosef says the opposite. Ha'olam no'ogin she'eina avol mis'atei fatipas harosh kol ayom ela b'shah shaban l'nachemo. Hepech ma'ashakaz b'poskim datipa kol ayom k'shabam menachem v'gal ha'rosho. So he says the opposite, that to the extent that anyone is no'heg atipas harosh, presumably meaning the shach, atipas harosh, of putting the hat brim down. So he says nowadays, the practice is the opposite. You only do it dafka when the Menachemim are there.
I'm sorry, something wrong with my phone, and it went mute on me. When you were telling the story about Rabbi Sachs, I missed it. Could you just repeat it?
I just said the first time that I ever noticed an Avel be knowing like the Shach was 25 years ago when Rabbi Sachs lost his father, and I was Menachem Avel. He was wearing his hat down that way. Okay.
The whole time he put his hat down?
The whole time that I was Menachem Aval, it wasn't for that long, but I presume it wasn't just for me. Okay. So that's.
Did you ask him about it?
I'm sorry?
Did you ask him about it?
I don't think so. That's what the Shach says to do. So that's what a lot of people do.
Okay.
Okay, Simon Shin Pei Zayin. Din Kfiya Samita. Avol Chai B'Kfiya Samita. So that the Gemara says, well, how do you know you have to be Kofa Mita? How do you know that Avol has to turn his bed upside down? The Gemara is an expression of the Musti Yukni that man is B'Tzelem Elokim, U'Bavan Oseyem Hafachtia, and because of our sins, the Tzelem Elokim is turned over, and someone passed away, so that's a turning over the Tzelem Elokim, and you turn over the bed to commemorate, to acknowledge that there was a Tzelem Elokim that was turned over. The Mechaber writes, Avol Chai B'Kfiya Samita, U'B'Shas Sheina V'Achila Yoshev Amita Kfuya. So the two halachas. Halacha number one is turning over the beds, and halacha number two is sitting on the turned over bed. So when you're sleeping and eating, you sit on the turned over bed. But aside from the time you're eating and sleeping, you don't sit on the mita kfuya. You sit on the ground. Similarly, the Menachemim are only allowed to sit on the ground. So on the first point, that you sit on the mita kfuya b'shal shein v'achil asas machlokes rishonim. That's the Rambam, that you have to sleep on a mita kfuya, the Rush argues. So that's interesting. According to the Rush, you turn over the bed, but you don't do anything with it. You just leave it turned over. You don't have to sit on it. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that that's what the Kima Dibus Dikni is. It's not, there's a separate halacha that you have to sit on the ground. We'll get to that. Doesn't mean you have to sit on a mita kfuya. The mita kfuya is for the demus yukni, the representation that there's a Tzelem Elokim that was turned on its head, so to speak, so that we commemorate with the Kviya Samita. But it doesn't mean, it's not a Hecha Timsa to give you a place to sit. It's independent of where the Aval has to sit. There's a mitzvah of Kviya Samita. And that's halacha, as Rosh Hashanah points out, that's a base Aval halacha. The Gemara says on Kav Zayin that you, the Gemara there is talking about how early in Erev Shabbos can you put the beds back in the correct space. As you turn them over during the week, so you put them back for Shabbos. So there, the Gemara is talking about all the beds in the house, not just the bed of the Aval. That's a base Aval halacha, that all the beds in the house have to be turned over. However, the Mechaber then writes in Sif Beis, "Achshav lanagu b'kfiyas amita, v'mnei sheyomru ha'ovdei kachavim shehu machshefas." So just as when it comes to Atifas HaRosh, you don't do Atifas HaRosh because people are going to think we're engaged in Kishuv. But Tosfos has the same reason for kfiyas amita. People are going to think we're engaged in Kishuv. Ba'od, she'en amitas shalanu asuyos kemitas shalahen, k'dei sheyei nikar behem kfiyah. So our mitos aren't the same as the mitos of old. The mitos of old somehow more of a canopy that if you turned it over, you could tell which is up, which is down. But our beds are basically the same thing, upside down, right side up. So our beds aren't really suited for a kfiya samita. So that's why our practice is not to engage in Kviya Samita. Actually, Tisha B'Av, that's a machlokas tanoim, right? Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, is there din of Kviya Samita for Tisha B'Av? We pass like Chachamim that there's no din of Kviya Samita on Tisha B'Av, even Mikra Din, even at the time that there were beds that were kafayabil, or whatever the correct term would be. Now, even though there's no din of Kviya Samita nowadays, the Shach and the Taz both write, take a look at the Shachs of Katan Aleph, Mikal Makom. I'm sorry, I'm reading the second part of the Shach. We'll get back to the first afterwards. Hu Adin, Kisharot Salishan, Sarach Lishan, Al Gabe Karka. That if you go to sleep, so you don't have to be cold for your bed, but if you go to sleep, you have to go to sleep on the ground. You can't sleep on your bed as normal. And that's what Yaakov Emden writes in Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadi Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadi Aleph, which is referenced to the Pesach Tshuva here, Sif Katan Beis, that even though we're not knowing nowadays, but Kviya Samita, that's because there's no way of doing Kviya Samita. But you're not allowed to sleep on your bed as normal. Because after all, as we'll see, there's an issue of Yeshiva Gabe Karka. You can't, there's a din of Yeshiva Gabe Karka. You can't sit on a normal chair. So Yaakov Emden says, if you can't sit on a normal chair, then obviously you can't lay down normally. You can't go to sleep normally. He thinks that's a kol shekein. So even if there's no din of Kviya Samita and there's no Mita Kfuya that you need to sleep on top of, but you still can't sleep on your bed as normal. You have to sleep on the ground. If you give Eger rights over here, mutulat siya kar miksasas ala karka v'lisha nalaya. So you don't have to sleep mamish on the stone floor. You could put down a pillow. You could put down a sheet on the ground and sleep on top of that. But you still have to sleep on the ground. However, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Panim Iros that argues, and Shuas Yaakov argues as well, and those are Chonim assume that no, that there's no din of Shena Agabe Karka. Once there's no din of Kviya Samita, once we got rid of the requirement of Kviya Samita, either because it's not practical or because people are going to laugh at us or people are going to think we're engaged in Kishuv, so to the extent that there's a din of sleeping in a non-standard position, that's connected to Kviya Samita. Why is there no din of Kviya Samita? Then you don't have to sleep on the ground anymore. It doesn't make a difference if you put the mattress, you put a sleeping bag on the floor, or you sleep in your regular mattress. You're allowed to sleep in your regular mattress. And that's what the Birka Yosef says here as well, that Haneka lo hifsit. For an Avos asleep on his bed, lo hifsit. Ubefrat bedoros halalu chalushay amezeg, that we are of weaker constitutions than people used to be. Ein kan chumra af bisadadin. The Birka Yosef says there's no need to be machmir because you're going to get sick if you sleep on the ground all week. We're not built for that. And that is generally, I believe, minhag ha'olam. That's the Yochel Shochan rites that we're makel. And that's what the contemporary poskim all say. That our practice is, even if in theory there may be grounds to be machmir to tell an avos to sleep on the floor, but in practice, because we don't have the same constitution that people used to, would be too much of a hardship. So we don't tell a Balaam to do that. So the common practice is that an Avos sleeps in a normal position for the week of Shib.
Just something about the one pillow.
So on Tisha B'Av,
zero pillows, or
yeah. So Tisha B'Av, that's a different halacha. Right, exactly. What I was saying is that that's a machlokes tanaim about kviyas hamita on Tisha B'Av. We pass it. There's no such halacha of kviyas hamita like a chamin to Rabbi Yehuda. As far as one pillow, two pillows, so that's what the Rama says in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that you should position yourself in a way that's less comfortable than normal. But that's only mimin haga. Meaning what we're discussing in Avelis is there anything aser midina? So kviyas hamita is midina, but we're not knowing that. So some akronim assume that sleeping on the ground is an extension of kviyas hamita, which is also midina. And the other akronim, which seems to be the consensus nowadays, is that we're makel on that's not makel adin. And therefore you can be makel because you can't hack that for a week. On Tisha B'Av, there is clearly only mimin haga. There's no ikar adin consideration. And it's a minhag, so then if it's only one night, you could manage to sleep in an uncomfortable position for that one night. Kedayu beis hamikdash, kedayu chorvan beis hamikdash, to lose one night of sleep over it. But that's still only me minhag. Okay. Now what about the other reference here in the Mechaber to Yeshiva Gabe Karka? That an avil has to be yoshev al gabe kark. If you take a look at the Beir Agra here in Sifkat and Beis, he quotes from the Ramban in the Torah Sadam. The Torah Sadam is the Ramban Schieber on Hilchos Avelos, which is the basis of many halachos in Shulchan Aruch of Avelos, the basis of much of a lot of what we have in the Torah in Shulchan Aruch. So he quotes that the Ramban had a girsa that we don't have in our Gemara. The Ramban had minayin la'avel she'ein rashay leishev agabe mita el agabe karetz. How do you know that an avel is not allowed to sleep, to sit on a bed, sit in a chair? He dafkas to sit on the ground. Shenamar v'yeshvu ito la'aretz. A pasuk by Eov, that when Eov's chaverim came to console him, they sat together la'aretz on the ground. So that we don't have in our Gemara. So the Gaon says, "Hakol less of the Gemara shalanu shesh mitu amad pisim." He said the Ramban got it right. The Ramban had the correct yersa, and our editors got it wrong. That somehow the editors of the printed shas made a mistake. They got rid of that line, but it really belongs there, as the Ramban has, and that's the source for the iser of, or the din of yeshiva gabe karka for an avel. Then an avel sits on the ground. Now, what we have in our Gemara is the Gemara in Kavav, that haholich lebeis avel, that if a person goes to pay a shivakol, imayalibo gaspo yavru amitos kfuyos. So if he has a close relationship with the avelim, so then the sudas havrot that's extended, the first suda after the kfura, so then they should sit on mitos kfuyos, the amlav yavru al mitos kufos. But if you don't have that close relationship, so then they can sit for the suda sabra on regular beds. So the Ramban there explains that if it's libo gaspo, if you have a close relationship between the menachemim and the misnachemim, excuse me, then they're both supposed to sit on mitos kriyos. And if you don't have that relationship, then they do sit on, then you can sit on normal chairs. But what you probably do see from there is that there's no chiyah for an avil to sit al karka b'shas achila. That there's no issur shiva gabe karka b'shas achila. So that's what Rabbi Willi thinks lamaisa, which is not the consensus of the poskim, at least in common practice. But Rabbi Willi thinks that the din of yeshiva gabe karka is only in the presence of menachemim. But if you're going to be eating in the kitchen when no menachemim are present, so there's no din that an avil has to sit on the floor to eat if it's not in the presence of menachemim. I think the general common practice is that avil sits on the floor regardless, even not in the presence of menachemim. So the Shach writes back to the beginning of Sukkot and Aleph. Asula, even though we're not knowing the din of Kfiyas Hamita, Mikol Makom, Asula Leishev El Gabe Safsal, O Karimuksasas. An Avil's not allowed to sit on a bench. He's even not allowed to sit on pillows. Kiyam El Gabe Karka has to sit on the ground mamish. Im Lo, Kol of Azokin, Sheish Bem Sar, B'Yeshiva, El Gabe Karka, Mutarim Lahasim Karkatim Itakav. Unless the person's elderly, the person's sick, he can't sit al gabe karka mamish, so you can put a little pillow underneath. But strictly speaking, the Shach says that an avil is supposed to sit al gabe karka mamish. So minaga olam, or a common practice, seems to give more latitude to not sitting al gabe karka mamish than what the Shach writes, and to allow sitting on karm psasos even if you're not sick or elderly. Our Hasholchan, in justifying that practice, points to the pasuk that is the source of this iser, the pasuk that the Ramban quotes in his girsa that we don't have in the Gemara that we just saw in the Be'er Agra, the pasuk in Iyov, the Yeshvuito by Yeshvuito La Aretz. So it doesn't say Alo Aretz. La Aretz implies close to the ground, proximate to the ground. But that could allow for sitting on a pillow that's almost on the ground, but not a la ground mamish. Rabbi Carr points out in the Sefer, Rabbi Willi pointed out that's not necessarily a raya, because that pasuk is quoted in the Yerushalmi in the context of sleeping, and the context of sitting. So maybe sitting doesn't have to be al karka mamish. But a lot of the kisser svarim they quote that common practice seems to be makel to sit in a pillow. They quote from the Marsham that was makel even up to gimel tefachim. Gesher Chaim is makel up to one tefach. Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav that the gather of yeshiva al gabe karka doesn't mean al karka mamish. It means in a way that's different than the norm. There has to be a shinoi in your form of yeshiva. So according to that, even if it's more than three tefachim, maybe that would be okay if it's a shinoi. But just like the Mishnah has in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, that a king, when he, the context of Nicham Avelim by a king is an Avel, king would sit on a dargish. The dargish isn't a throne, it's something less than a throne, but it's a chair, presumably more than feet off the ground. So that reflects a certain kind of a shinoi. But that's questionable why, yeah, how much can you be makel in terms of not sitting al gabe karka mamish? The Shach is fairly machmir, and many of the later poskim at least have grounds the kula. Now, as far as Tisha B'Av, the din of Yeshiva Gabri Karka on Tisha B'Av, so as we said, Kviya Samita doesn't apply in Tisha B'Av at all. Yeshiva Gabri Karka, so that's Mi Min Haga, that's not Mi'ikra Din. And the Magen Avraham writes that because it's only Mi Min Haga, you're allowed to sit al hasak. You could sit on, you don't have to sit al karka, a karka mamish. The minhag is al karka, but you could sit al hasak. That's what Pinel Gana points out. That's different than an ovel. Ovel, the yes is mikra din. So that's why the shaf says it has to be al karka mamish. And you have to figure out what grounds are to be makel more than that. But Dishabab, it's all the minhag. There are more grounds to be makel. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, that since it's only the Min Haga, that you don't require yeshiva al gabe karka mamish. Okay. There is another minhag that might be related to Kviya Samita, and that is the common practice of many to cover mirrors in a base oven. So this is documentation-wise, it's a very late practice. It does not appear anywhere in Rishonim. It does not appear anywhere, as far as I'm aware, in the earlier Achronim. The Chasson Sofer in Adrasha says that the source of this practice of covering mirrors is the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi that's parallel to our, maybe mirrors weren't so common, okay? The Chasson Sofer in Adrasha says that the source of this practice is Yerushalmi, which is parallel to our Bavli by Kviya Samita. The Bavli says, Demus Diukni, Babinoseim of Chuhu, that we turned over the Demus Diukno of the Nifter, so that's why we turn over beds. And the Yerushalmi has a lashon of Havchua Sarsur, that the bed is a middleman, so to speak. The bed is involved in the creation of man. It's a middleman to create man. So you turn that over. So you turn over something that's connected to the image of man. So mirror also is reflecting literally the image of man. That should be turned over as well. And Rav Schechter quotes a similar reason in the name of the Rav, that it reflects the fact that the Tzelem Elokim has departed, and that's why you call cover a mirror. So Rav Schechter said that that's the source. So then they should be uncovered for Shabbos. Just like by Kviya Samita, you have to be Zolkev the Mitas Kviyas for Shabbos. They should uncover the mirrors as well. Rav Avadia, of course, a totally different reason. Rav Avadia in Shuvin Yabiyom Rechelet Dalin, he quotes that he thinks the real reason for the practice of covering mirrors has nothing to do with Kviya Samita, nothing to do with Avelis. It's a practical consideration because people daven in a Beis Avel. And you're not allowed to daven in front of a mirror. So if you have a minyan, the Beis Avel, you have to cover the mirrors. So no one's going to be davening in front of a mirror. And he says that's the reason. So if there's no minyan, the Beis Avel, then you don't have to cover the mirrors. Or mirrors in other rooms, you don't have to cover. Then he quotes some Achronim and say a different reason. That is because in the Beis Avel, there are ruchos ros and there are mazikim. And somehow you have to cover the mirror to avoid or to prevent the mazikim or the ruchos ros from inflicting any damage. Okay. When Rav Schechter was sitting Shiva for his father, I noticed when I was Menachem Avil that the mirrors in the house were not covered. So I asked him some later point why they didn't cover the mirrors. They said that when his mother passed away many years earlier and they got back from the cemetery, the Rav Schechter instructed that they should cover the mirrors. And his father said to him, no, don't cover them. That's not our family minhag. I think by most of us, your Shechter's father was here before the war. But for most of us whose parents never saw their parents sitting Shiva for their parents because no one had parents, it's hard to talk about family menhagim for Avelis because there was a disconnect in the normal generational flow. Okay, let's move on to Simin Shin Pei Ches, the Isra Nachas Tfilin B'Yom Rishon. The Mechaber writes, Avil Asir Laniach Tfilin B'Yom Rishon, the Achar Neitzachama B'Yom Sheni Mutol Anichem. So there's an Isser for an Avil to wear Tfilin B'Yom Rishon. That's the Gemara says from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Pe'er Chachav V'Shalecha, that you, Yecheskel, don your Pe'er, but no other Avil does that. That Isser is on Yom Rishon. After Neitzachama Yom Sheni, you're allowed to wear it. In the Tziyuna Yalacha, they quote that Rav Yashiv always davened Vasikin every day, with the exception of the second day when he was sitting Shiva, because he davened Vasikin, so then you're putting on your tefillin before Hanetz, and the din is an Avil is only allowed to put on tefillin on day two after Hanetz. So even though his practice every other day of his life was to wear tefillin, it was davened Vasikin, so on Yom Sheni of Shiva, he would dive in later than Basik. The Gemara has, in this context of not wearing tefillin, so the Gemara has in Moikatan and Daf Kaf Aleph Tana Rabbanan, Avel Gimel Yomim Harishonim Asel Niyach Tefillin. The Tanakhama says that an Avel doesn't wear Tefillin the first 3 days. Mishlishi ve'elach u'shlishi b'chlal mutu l'niyach Tefillin. 3 days is mixed with the Yom Kikulo, so it's really 2 days you don't wear Tefillin. On the third day, you're allowed to wear Tefillin. Bimbo panim chadashos eino choletz. And if you put on Tefillin on day three, and then Panim Chadashos come. Panim Chadashos meaning people that weren't with the Avel yet. You don't take the tefillin off. Divrei Blasher. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Avel days Yamim Arishonim Asur L'Niach Tefillin. Avel doesn't wear tefillin the first 2 days. Misheni Visheni Baklal Mutar L'Niach Tefillin. 2 days means mixes the Yom Kikula of 2 days, which really means 1 day. On the second day, an Avel wears tefillin. Bimbo Panim Chadashos Choletz. However, if Panim Chadashos come on day two, then you have to be Choletz your tefillin. So if you put on tefillin on day two, and then Panim Chadashos come, you have to be Choletz your tefillin. And then the Gemara concludes later on that on day two, lahalacha, if there are panim chadashos, you don't put on tefillin. But if panim chadashos come after you put them on, you don't have to be choleis. What's the significance of panim chadashos here? So the Ritva explains that panim chadashos are people that create a emotional reaction on the part of the avil. If you see someone that you haven't seen yet since the ptira, So then that's going to create an emotional reaction on the part of the oven. So the Mordechai writes that if an oven puts on tefillin on day two, and then panu chadashas come, you don't have to be cholitz. But if panu chadashas come before, so then if, as long as there are panu chadashas present, you're not allowed to put on tefillin. So there's no reference here in the Mechaber that we just read to this din of panim chadashos, but it does come up in Arachayim, in Hilchos Tefillin, in Siman Lamaches, the Mechaber writes, Avel b'yom rishon asel niach tefillin, mikan ve'elachayim, afilu ba'im panim chadashos. The Mechaber says that after day one, even if panim chadashos come, you still have to put on tefillin. And that's based on the Pesach of the Ram and the Rif that make no mention of panim chadashos le halacha. However, the Mishnah Berurah there quotes from Achronim that you should be machmir for the position of the Mordechai, that we are concerned about panim chadashos, and therefore, if panim chadashos come on day two, that then you're not supposed to put on a tefillin in the presence of panim chadashos. So if there are people that show up to the minyan of the Beis Avil on day two before the Avelim put on their tefillin, so then they're not allowed to put on tefillin. So when I was sitting Shiva for my mother, I told my father in the morning of day two that make sure that we keep the front door locked and both put on tefillin before anyone comes to the minyan, because if people come in first, we wouldn't be able to put on tefillin, at least according to the Mordechai and the Achronah that the Mishnah Berurah says to be choshish for. After they do, so then the din of panim chadashos doesn't apply anymore, and then you can put on tefillin without restriction. Father Shulchan notes that the minhag olam is not to be careful about this. Again, it's hard to know. We talk about minhag olam for avelus. Avelus is not a common occurrence. The Shach has reference to this in a couple places. It's hard to talk about a minhag. The fact that lo ra'inu ein arai, the fact that people don't do something doesn't mean that's correct. It could be they're just not aware of the halacha. How much prep time do you have, Rachman al-Islan, if you're thrust into a situation of avelus to chazer all the halachas? So the comments that the minhag is not that way doesn't always mean that that's the correct thing. But in the Tzinei Halacha, they quote that he asked Rav Yashiv, why is it that people aren't careful about this? Rav Yashiv said that Panim Chadashos isn't just anyone. It's someone that actually you care about. Someone that is going to create that kind of emotional reaction on the part of the other. Again, it's hard to, even if that's so, hard to know where do you draw the line. And just like by panim chadashos, just by shavur brachos, we generally assume that any person is mosif some kind of simcha. So here, it could be any person is mosif some kind of reaction, reacting to the avelus. The Pesach Tshuva here quotes a position of the Maritats. Pesach Tshuva in Sifkatan Aleph. He quotes, "I am Rehetev Shekhatav Shem Maritat V'Chidusha Perek Ezu Neshach." So in case you're wondering, what does any of this have to do with Perek Ezu Neshach? The answer is absolutely nothing. Now that we would be allowed to learn Ezu Neshach today anyway, but the Maritats in Eskibra and Ezu Neshach has a few pages. He writes that one of his children passed away, so he wrote a few pages about Hilchos Avelus that he's talking to his Chidushim and Ezu Neshach. But it has absolutely nothing to do with Perek Ezu Neshach. So what does he write? The Dafka Yom HaMisa Sheyom HaKvura Pat Mitzvilan Yarmisha. When is an Avel Pater from Tefillin on day one? It's only if the Yom HaMisa coincides with the Yom HaKvura. Aval Kisha Misa Yom Acher V'Kvura Yom Acher Chai betfilin afilo biyom yishan. Since, assuming like those that we shown him, that availeth yom yishan deraisa, so it's definitely not the position of the Rambam, may not even be the position of the Mechaber, but let's assume the Mechaber is what to talk about at least. So if you assume that availeth yom yishan deraisa, and then you want to connect the iser of wearing tefillin b'yom rishon to the fact that availeth yom rishon deraisa. So that's the base of the Maritats, that since availeth yom rishon deraisa is only if yom ha'misa coincides with yom ha'kvura, but if yom ha'misa is on Sunday and the kvura is on Monday, so Monday is not considered availeth yom rishon deraisa, so then the Maritat says put on tefillin on Monday, even though that's yom rishon of your count of Shiva. But it's not Yom Rishon of Avelis, Yom Rishon Daraisa. And therefore, you should put on tefillin. I am B'dak L'mirvava, She'vi Ogam, Kein V'hisagalav, V'ela Dafilu M'yom Kfura L'chud, Aser B'tefillin. B'dak L'mirvava argues. And that's the general Tzaka Mikubal, that you don't wear tefillin on Yom Rishon, even if Avelis, Yom Rishon, even if the Yom Kfura doesn't coincide with the Yom Ha-Misa. That's the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah against the Maritats, and that seems to be the more prevalent practice, even though L'chai Adam writes that you should put it on without a bracha. And the Sefer Pnei Baruch HaSefer Shlomo Zalman, that was the old Minhag Yerushalayim to put on without a bracha. And that's Vavadya writes, and quoted from Shmuel Salant. You know, it's a little hard to understand. What do you gain by putting it on without a bracha? Meaning, we're not talking about a question whether you're mechuyev or not. So, you know, maybe on Chol HaMoed, it makes sense if you want to be choshesh to put it on without a bracha, because it's a shaila of chiyev. Yeah, Chol HaMoed also is more than chiyev because the Zohar that the bad things will happen if you put on tefillin. But for an Aval, it's the question of Isser. Is an iser to put on tefillin on Yom Rishon. So you have a suffix, maybe Yom Rishon is only Yom Misa of Yom Kfura. But if it's Yom Kfura that's not Yom Misa, maybe not. So you can put it on Misa without a bracha, but maybe you're violating the iser. It's not so clear what putting out with a bracha helps. But at least here in America, I believe, aside from Breuer's, where they their practice is like the Maritats, but I believe in general, the common practice is that you don't put on tefillin on Yom Rishon, even if it's a Yom Kfura that does not coincide with the Yom Hamisa. Okay. Let's move on to Siman Shin Pei Tes, the Isser of Kibbutz and Gihutz. So the passion before you start reading the Makara. The Pashas of the Gemara is that the Isser Kibbutz, the Isser of doing laundry, is only a Shiva Halacha, as opposed to the Isser of Gihutz of, we'll define it now for the moment, just pressing, that's a Shloshim Halacha. It's Befeirish in the Gemara that Gihutz is a Shloshim Halacha, and the simple reading of the Gemara is that Kibbutz is a Shiva Halacha. Point one. Point two, that according to most Rishonim, the difference between kibbutz and gihutz is that kibbutz is doing laundry, whether you use water or whether you use detergent, meaning even if you use detergent, that's still called kibbutz. And gihutz is some kind of pressing. There's a minority opinion Rishonim that kibbutz means water and gihutz means washing with detergent. But we generally assume, like the Rov Rishonim, that kibbutz means doing laundry, even if you don't use detergent. And there's also minority opinion Rishonim, which we'll see reflected in the Rama, in the Bali Tosfos, that the Isser Kibbutz applies for all Shlosh. So with that Hakdama, let's take a look at the Mechaber. Avil Asir L'chabes Kesus HaKol Shiva Yamin. An Avil is not allowed to engage in Kibbutz for Shiva. Afilu B'mayim Levat. Even if he's only going to use water. U'la'acha Shiva Mutter. But once Shiva is over, then there's no further restriction. U'kishem Sh'asir L'chabes. Just as you're not allowed to do laundry, kach aser lilbosh hamechubasim kodun lochein. So too, you're not allowed to wear freshly laundered clothing. So strictly speaking, the Gemara only talks about doing laundry. The Gemara doesn't talk about wearing laundered clothing. It's not the fairish in the Gemara, but that's what Tosus assumes. Tosus the Ramban. And that's what we assume, lalacha, that the Isser applies to wearing freshly laundered garments as well. The Rambam is not the way. The Rambam only prohibits wearing begadim deguhatsim, press clothing, but not freshly laundered clothing. But we assume in Shulchan Aruch, like the Rav Rishonim, that you're not allowed to wear laundered clothing either. Then says the Rambam, the Achar Shiva Shari, that after Shiva you're allowed to wear laundered clothing. The Aola Nagubo Isser, but the minig is to be Machmir on the Gadim Mechubasim for Shloshim, like the opinion of the Riva in the Bali Atosos. Okay. The Noagin. Actually, I'm going to skip this line of the Ramah just to get the flow in the Mechaber, then we'll go back to this line of the Ramah. So just skip to the continuation of the Mechaber. The Ein Tzarech Lomar She'aser Lilbosh Chadashim. So it's obvious if you can't wear freshly laundered clothing, you can't wear new clothing. V'gam Astinim V'amatzov Shel Mitas Silachapsan Latziyam Mechubasin. And you're also not allowed to wash or use freshly laundered sheets and mattresses. V'chein mitpachos hayadayim, similarly hand towels. Af b'shemut l'chabsam b'moed, v'chein kol osin sheshanin shemitam l'chabes b'moed, kegon ayosin beis hashivyam beis hasurim, ha-menuda sheitir l'chachamim, v'anish l'chacham v'hutar, v'abam dina sayam, shalach l'arviach, lo yilo p'nai l'galeach, asurim imei evlo. So even the situations where there are exceptions on Chol HaMoed, generally, you can't do laundry on Chol HaMoed. But if you got out of jail, if you were in Nidoy and we removed the Nidoy, if you had you needed an Ataris Nedarim, if you come from a faraway land, you weren't able to take care of it before Chol HaMoed, before you enter. So there are exceptions on Chol HaMoed. But those exceptions don't apply to an Avel. Shem Iru Echam Eham Kodem Avelus V'nichnas Miyad L'Sof Avelus Asu L'Chabes. But if you had the situation, an Avel got out of jail that morning and I become an Avel, didn't have time to do the laundry, too bad. Elam Kain, Iru Echa Mehem de Tachlu, Niyat Shnei Avelus, Acharzeh, Azmurta L'chabes, Afineser, V'chol, Afilu Toch Sheva, U'bavad Shiasenu B'tzinu B'tzach Beso, V'achar Shetachlu Avelus, Acharzeh, M'chabes, Amayim, V'lo B'neser Bo. The one exception is that if you have a double whammy Avelus, you have one Avelus, and then before you're able to do laundry, another Avelus hits. So then there are kulos for doing laundry. Okay, so let's go back to the Ramah that we skipped. The Noagin, so in the context of, the Ramah just said that the Minag is to Aser Begadim Mechubasim even during Shloshim. The Noagin Sha'adam Akar Lo Sham Tchila. The minag is you have someone else wear them first. The Akar Kach Lo Sham Avel. And then the Avel wears them. The minag Iker. The Chay Noagin B'medinas Elu Lo Akar Shiva. The Imlav Sha'adam Akar Rak Sha'achas Dai Bekach. Is that the minag after Shiva? And if you only wear them for an hour, that's sufficient. Okay, so we have to take apart some of the phrases here in the Rama. The Rama is based on a smach that the Torah quotes, that the smach says, dafka in the context of shloshim, that even though the minhag is not to wear begadim mechubasim for shloshim, if someone else wears it first, that is sufficient. Now, if you read the Rama carefully, it sounds like the first line of the Rama is talking about even during Shiva. Because he says, "V'noagin sha'adam acher lo sham tchila, v'achakach lo sham avel, v'aminag eker." The minag is to have someone else wear it first. "V'chei noagin medinos elu l'achar Shiva." And that's our minag after Shiva. So it sounds like the previous line is even toch Shiva. The know again that someone else wears it, even toch Shiva. And our minag is to have someone else wear it la'achar Shiva. Now the difference may be, so what's the difference between toch Shiva and la'achar Shiva? So when he says, rak sha'achas dai bekach, that if you have someone else wear it only for an hour, that's sufficient. So that is dafka during shloshim, where the isser is only mimin haga. There's a chubas harivash, actually, skip that for now. If you take a look at the Er Hagola, at the end of the Siman. So there's a comment to the Er Hagola, the end of the Siman. Because of a kolbo b'shem maram, b'makom she'aser lilbosh chadashim, im baniach la'acher l'lavshan bezo gimel yamim, hakol mutter. Uleni esayti dafka b'tzarech lehem. So where there's an isser of wearing begadim chadashim, you could have someone else wear it for you for 2 or 3 days. Okay, so there the shear is someone else wearing it 2 or 3 days. Here the Rama said Raksha Achas. So if you look at the shots of Katan Dal, the Klomer is man ma. It means a little bit of time. In Sarksha is man. It doesn't mean an hour, a literal hour. Lokama Shikasa Bilavu, Shao Shayim, Gulai Gamula Dafka Kamar. So you know, there may be a difference here between where the need for someone else to wear it is Mikra Din, or where the Isser Kibis is Mikra Din. Where it's only Mimin Haga. Where it's only Mimin Haga, the amount of time that you have to have someone else wear it for you is going to be less. So the Sha Achas, or the Zman Ma, is only to solve a problem during Shloshim of Begadim Mechubasim, where it's only Aser Mishum Min Haga. As opposed to the Kolbo, where he says 2 or 3 days for Begadim Chadashim, Begadim Mechubasim, so that's where something is going to be aser mikra din, and then you need a longer period of time in order to solve that problem. That actually ends up, the Rabbi Willie points out, this ends up a chumrah when it comes to the 9 days. That our practices, our minag, the Ramah, is to ask the begadim l'chubasa for the entirety of the 9 days, not just for Shavuot Shachal, which is also Me'ikar HaDin. So our practice is that we, clothing that we're going to wear during the 9 days, we try on before the 9 days, right? So how long do you have to try it on for? So based on this calculation, if we're talking about an Isser Kibbutz Mimin Haga, so then Zman Ma is sufficient, a little bit of time. If it's an Isser that's Medina, so then you're going to need more time. So at least for clothing that you're going to wear during Shavuot Shachal, but this year we didn't have Shavuot Shachal aside from today. But at least for clothing that you're going to wear for Shavuot Shachal, so then you'd have to wear it for half a day, a quarter of a day. That's the lashon that we have. If someone has a lashon of half a day, the kolbo has 2 or 3 days. Someone has a lashon of half a day. I don't see it right now. But then you would have to wear your clothing that you're going to wear during Shavuot Shachal for a much more significant period of time. Now, in theory, with that cheshbon, you could try everything on before the 9 days for a little bit of time. And then that which you're going to wear during Shavuot Shachal, you could wear for a third of a day or half a day during the beginning of the 9 days until Shavuot Shachal, in theory. Now, many poskim say that the Isser of Kibbutz is relevant for the 9 days also, but the Isser of Kibbutz for an Avel, or wearing begadim mechubasim rather, doesn't apply to big dezeim, doesn't apply to undergarments. So therefore, an avel would be allowed to wear freshly laundered, not to do laundry during Shiva, but to wear freshly laundered undergarments during Shiva. So that's what most poskim, many contemporary poskim assume. Badr Shulchan seems to be machmer in that, but Rabbi Felder quotes this from Rav Moshe, and many poskim assume that you have the school of Rabbi Dezea, which is assumed to be the case for the 9 days as well. Rabbi Willie thinks that even a shirt is considered a begadzea. That would be cooler for the 9 days also, not to have to try on shirts. I think Rav Schechter quoted that he heard that from Rebbe Aaron Soloveitchik as well. But most poskim don't assume that way. Rav Schechter pointed out that's a problem in Kriya. We're not going to get to Kriya today. Kriya and Simon Shemem, so at least generally assumed that that you don't tear Kriya on a Begadzeya. And you also don't tear Kriya on a coat. So at least for Shark Rovin, the jacket, maybe Avima could be Machmir to tear Kriya. But if you don't tear Kriya on a Begadzeya, and a shirt's a Begadzeya, then what are you tearing Kriya? And that's what Rashakta pointed out, the difficulty with assuming that a shirt is a begadzeya. That's the distinguish between begadzeya for purposes of Kriya and for kibas.
Jacket.
I'm sorry?
Maybe a jacket? I don't know.
No, so both can assume a jacket is not maker than amuchiyav in Kriya, because that's not a intrinsic garment. That's just like an outer garment that you wear lakava.
Mm-hmm. A davening jacket we're talking about?
Yeah, a suit jacket, right.
Because I thought most people, you see them, the minhag is that they do Kriya on their davening jacket as well.
Only for Aviv V'ima, not for Shar Krovim. Aviv V'ima, you're allowed to do a milsa yasei rasa. You can do something extra to demonstrate the avelis. But for Shar Krovim, you generally don't tear Kriya on a jacket, only on a shirt. As far as having someone else wear a begad mechubas for you, in the Sefer Pnei Baruch, he quotes from some achronim that you can put it on the ground and let it get a little dirty that way. So the Baal Shulchan points that you don't find that in poskim, because if that was the case, then why be matriach someone else to wear the clothing for you? You should just put it on the ground. The general practice for begadim chadashim, and if you need to wear begadim mechubas tov shloshim, would be to have someone else wear it for you first. I just have to plug in my laptop here. Give me 10 seconds. Okay.
Question?
Yeah.
When somebody
on laundry, I guess I was prompting the question for Rabbi Carr. Go ahead. I'll ask after.
Okay. Thank you. I'm not sure who was first, but.
Doesn't make a difference.
If somebody's wearing the shirt for you, can they put it over their shirt so they're wearing two shirts, or they have to wear it as one shirt?
That may depend on whether it's considered a begadzeya or not. You probably have to wear it in a somewhat normal fashion. So if a shirt's a begadzeya, you don't need someone to try it on for you anyway. If it's not, you need someone to try it on. I'd imagine you probably have to wear it in a normal fashion. Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Sinai Halacha saying that even though the kolbo has the formulation we saw quoted in the Bar Halacha of wearing it for 2 or 3 days, where you need a mikra din, but nowadays people are more finicky, and no one would be comfortable. The point of having someone else wear it is that it doesn't have a shame of being laundered anymore, or it doesn't have a shame of being pressed or new. So it used to be that you have to wear it for 2 or 3 days to remove the newness, but nowadays people are more sensitive to wearing clothing that other people wear. So even if someone wears it for half a day, that already removed the shame begad chadash from it, or the shame begad meguas from it, and that would be sufficient, even where the requirement or the issur is mikra din. Okay, yeah, Benjamin.
In terms of laundry till tomorrow, so one of the camps sent around an email quoting Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky or Shlomo Miller and the Aguda, while saying that if you're traveling on the 10th, that it's okay to do laundry in the morning and even the night before, according to some. What would be the rationale for that? Is it all because it's a minog anyway for the 9 days? I mean, what do you say about that?
It is a minog, and on Mosei Tisha B'Av it's even less of a meaning. During Shavua Shachavu is Mikra Adin. During the 9 days leading up to Shavua Shachavu is Mimin Haga. Mosei Tisha B'Av is also Mimin Haga, and that minog is even more kal than the 9 days. So I haven't seen that plaque. If there is such a plaque, I would imagine it's a evaluation of, you know, cost benefit analysis that you don't have to be so strict about minhagim where there's a shas atak situation or where there are other mitigating factors. Now, I don't know what, you know.
I'll forward it to you right now. You can tell me later.
Dafka, I was saying, should be lechachila, be traveling for.
I'm saying a lot of the camps are starting tomorrow. Like, I mean, it's not a choice necessarily of the beneficiaries of those camps, et cetera, but that's just is what it is.
I mean, my son went up to Moshe Kolo a couple of days ago on Thursday, so he brought a whole bag of dirty laundry so that he could do
right.
It.
There's other programs where it's not so practical, whatever.
Not practical to carry a bag of dirty laundry with you on the first day again. I'm assuming that's a consideration. I guess that makes sense, meaning when Tisha B'Av falls on Thursday, so l'chachila we tell you to do laundry Motzei Shabbos, because it's not practical if you're going to be machmir until chasos the next day. If it's not practical, erev Shabbos.
Right.
So it's a lower level minhag, and a lower level minhag, if there are other competing considerations, you could shasta talk situation, you could dispense it. I'm assuming that's the basis of this sack.
And these are dinim and hetzach hadas, or the dinim and avelos that a person shouldn't do laundry? Like, what's the rationale?
So the Rashi in Tanis says that why is there an Isser Kibbutz during Shavua Shachavu Shelo Yasif Daita Ben Avil? So that's a very strong Musar Vort, meaning that a person's mindset should be such that you're so focused on the Avilus during Shavua Shachavu and you shouldn't be doing anything to distract you from that focus. So most of us are not on that. The male, if we can focus on Tisha B'Av, so I think we've accomplished something. But that's not necessarily, even for Rashi, that's not the be all and end all of the halacha. Meaning, at the end of the day, the iser kibbutz during Shavua Shachavu is an avelus halacha. So Rashi adds a level of hesach hadas, but I don't think even for Rashi that's the be all and end all. Still an avelus halacha. The hesach hadas is part of it. Shelo yaseif da'itim in avelus.
I guess what I'm going with the question is like nafkaminas, if a guy does it, like where does that all fit into?
Okay, there are two things. There's the iser of kibbutz and the iser of wearing begadim mechubastim. So the iser of kibbutz, that's where Rashi comments that to engage in kibbutz is a distraction. Shelo yaseif da'ito. Shelo yaseif da'ito ben avelus, but it's, I mean, the question is when it comes to an avel. So why do you need an iser? You know, some ask us why do you need an iser kibbutz in terms of doing the laundry itself? Typically, that there's an iser malacha, right? An avel is aser b'malacha toch shiva. So kibbutz should be b'chlal the malacha. So I forget who answers this, but it may be Pasha, that it was only Mishum Malacha, so there are more dispensations for the Yisra Malacha. There are certain things in the house. You're allowed to sweep the house. You're allowed to clean up. There are certain things that you're allowed to do as part of normal domestic chores, even during Shabbat. So maybe you would have thought that kibbutz is included that also. It's a domestic chore that could be done. So no, beyond the regular Yisra Malacha, there's an iser of kibbutz as well. But you probably can't separate the iser to the extent that kibbutz exists independent of the iser malacha. It's probably hard to separate it from the iser wearing begadim mechubasim. Meaning, you're wearing begadim mechubasim is a niyug avelus based on the psukim by the by the Isha Chachama Mitkoa, because that's we minimize forms of pleasure, we minimize certain personal comforts, and wearing clean clothing is a matter of personal comfort. So on some level, doing the laundry, I think, has to be connected to the end result, which is based on the kind of lack of personal comfort that an avil is supposed to experience. Okay, let's jump back here into the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's go to Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes in Sif Gimel, Asher Lilbosh Toch Shiva, Kalim Chadashim Tzvuim, the Yeshanim Yosef Mitachas HaMachdish. So you're not allowed to wear new colored clothing or even old clothing that was freshly pressed. Haga, Yesh Omrim De'asir Lilbosh Bigdei Shabbos Toch Dalet Shvuos HaRishonim. You're not allowed to wear Bigdei Shabbos during the first 4 weeks, essentially Shloshim. Aval Acher Kach Mutar Afilo Al Aviv Imo V'chein Lasos Begadim Chadashim Avel Nagu Isser Kol Yubeis Chodesh. Avel Nagu Isser Kol Yubeis Chodesh. The Begadim Chadashim also is only during Shloshim, but the Minig is Yubeis Chodesh. So the Rama says, Yesh Omrim not to wear Big Day Shabbos during Shloshim. And that's what we're probably more familiar with, the comment of the Rama when it comes to Shabbos Chazon, not to wear Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos Chazon. And we know the practice of the Vilna Gaon to wear Big Day Shabbos and Shabbos Chazon, which has become the prevalent practice in recent centuries, I guess. The Birka Yosef has a comment here. No, it's not here. It's in Siman Tav. Siman Tav is the Siman of Avelus B'Shabbos. So the Birka Yosef there is a comment. Ha'avel Sarach lahachlif big day chol v'yilabash b'shabbos big day Shabbos. So an avil needs to put on the Shabbos clothing, the havyad parhesya, because not wearing big day Shabbos would be a form of avilus b'farhesya, b'glilusenu in our lands. She'ein shem ani b'Yisrael she'ein lo beg of the Shabbos tov me'achol. Because nowadays even the poorest Jew has Shabbos clothing. It sounds like he's saying, Biyamim Kamonim, maybe in the time of the Rama, not everyone has Shabbos clothing. So for an Avil to wear weekday clothing on Shabbos wouldn't necessarily be a form of a veilus b'frasya, because there are certain people that always wear weekday clothing on Shabbos. But in a society where everybody, even the poorest Jew, has Shabbos clothing, then to wear big day chol on Shabbos would be a violation of a veilus b'frasya. Now, the allowance to wear Big Day Shabbos doesn't necessarily mean that you could wear Begadim Mechubasim, right? Those are two separate issues. Number one is wearing Big Day Shabbos, and number two is wearing Big Day Shabbos that are freshly laundered. That's what the Tziyune Halacha quotes in the name of Rav Yashiv, that even though you should be mekel to wear Bigdei Shabbos, it's only Bigdei Shabbos that aren't freshly laundered. Said Mela shirt, you could argue that the Beged Zayah, so you could put on a fresh shirt for Shabbos. But if the suit just came back from the dry cleaners and you hadn't worn your Shabbos suit last Shabbos, so then it would still be usher for an Avil to wear that suit on the Shabbos of Shiva. Even though as far as Big Day Shabbos are concerned, it would be makel to allow an Avil or an Avil Dafka should wear Big Day Shabbos. There's a comment of the Gilyon Marsha, Reb Shlomo Eger, Reb Eger's son, here on the Shulchan Aruch, that he writes, the Shabbos shel Avelus, mi she'eino lovesh kisones mechubas hu chasidus shel shtus. That if during the Shabbos of Avelus, someone doesn't wear a laundered shirt, that's considered a chassidus shel shtus, and he quotes a Shuvas Marshal to that effect. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan quotes as well. But if you look at the Shuvas Marshal is actually talking about Shabbos Chazon. He's not talking about an Avel. He's talking about Shabbos Chazon. He's talking about a voluntary Avelus, that someone, you know, there's situations of Misha Misabel love Misabel Imo, that there are situations where if a relative of yours is sitting Shiva, then you, and under some certain circumstances, perhaps should be knowing certainly Surei Avelis yourselves out of sympathy for your relative who's sitting Shiva. So in those situations, that's where the Mashal is talking about you have to wear your Shabbos clothing. But the Mashal is not addressing an Avel Toch Shiva, where it's a Me'ikar Adin Avelis. Okay. So again, common practice is that just as for Mekel and Shabbos Chazon, or Mekel for an Avel to wear Begdei Shabbos, but that doesn't necessarily allow you to wear the Gadim Mechubasim. Okay, the second halacha that you had here in Sif Gimel was not wearing new clothing. So the Mechaber says not to wear new clothing during Shiva. Mimin Haga, not to wear new clothing during Shloshim, by extension for Aviv Imo, during Yud Beis Chodesh. And that's where the Baragola quotes the Kolbo, that you could have someone else wear it for 2 or 3 days for you if you need to wear a new piece of clothing. And we quoted from Rav Yashiv that nowadays you can knock that 2 or 3 days down to maybe half a day. The Aruch HaShulchan also writes that you're allowed to wear new Big Day Zeya, just as we said, you're allowed to wear Big Day Zeya Mechubasim during Shloshim, or even during Shiva. You could wear new Big Day Zeya during your Beis Chodesh, even without giving it to someone else to try on first. And the Tziyunei Halacha, he quotes from Rav Yashiv, that Rav Yashiv said that you could buy new shoes during your Beis Chodesh. He said it's better to have someone else wear them for you first, but that's not absolutely necessary. And many Achronim assume that shoes are not considered clothing. So both for the purposes of an Avel and also the Leket Yosher writes that the Tumas Hadeshen allowed wearing new shoes during Sfira. Even if there's a minhag not to wear new clothing during a Sfiras Omer, shoes aren't included. Okay. Should we do one more simon? Should we go another 20 minutes or should we stop?
Go 5 more minutes.
All right. That's good.
Yep. Same.
Okay. We'll go a few minutes. Anyone feel free to leave whenever you want if you have to go before you finish. We'll try to do one more simon. So Shin Sadi is a din of Giluach, Srika, Tisparis, haircuts, and shaving. Okay, so most Nehugay Avelus are Noheg only during Shiva Midina and the Shloshim Mimin Haga. Tisparis, the issue of haircut or shaving, that's Noheg for all of Shloshim Midina. And it's actually learned from Sukkim and Chumash as opposed to most of Nehugay Avelus that are learned from Sukkim in Nach. So the source of the Yisur Tisporis is from Rosh Shechem Al Tifro in Parsha Shmini by Bnei Aaron Ubanov. We learn out of Zerah Shavar from Nazir that just like the Yisur Tisporis for Nazir, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom, so too for Avelus. There's a Shita Saraivit that the Yisur Tiglachas is even Daraisa. That's a minority opinion. Rishonim, we assume that it's only the Rabbanon and the Pasuk is some kind of an Asmachta. Says the Mechaber. Simon Shinsadi. Avil Asir Legaleach Sa'aro Echad Sa'aro Shav Echad Sa'aro Zekanav Echad Kal Sa'aro Shavo Vafila Shalbeis Astarim Kol Lamed Yom. You can't cut any of your hair. Okay, Sif Beis. Yasha Legaleach, Viamula Mace Aviv, Reza Mashlem Rosho. If he sat down to get a haircut and he finds out in the middle of the haircut that he's an Avel, he can finish the haircut. Echad Megaleach, Echad Mizgaleach. Umasha Saper, Gomer, Haina Bilaka Saper, Acher Mas. If the barber finds out he's an Avel, if there's someone else to finish up the haircut, better let the other person finish it up. If there's no one else to finish, he's the only barber in town. He's allowed to finish it up, not to leave this guy with half a haircut. Okay. Let's skip to Sif Dalit. Alkola Mason Megaleach La'achar Shloshim Yom Alav V'Imo Ad Shigar B'Chaver. So for Shar Krovim, once Shloshim's over, no more Isser. For Av V'Imo, there's an Isser to Glachas Achar Shloshim Ad Shigar B'Chaver until your friends chastise you for having hair that is too long. Okay. So what's this din of Achi Garabo Chaveirav? Sir Moshe has a tshuva. Yerodea Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Nidvav. Chela Gimel Kuf Nidvav. Sir Moshe says, you could have understood based on the Yerushalmi, the Tosa quotes, that you actually need Ga'ara Befol. You actually need someone to chastise you before being able to get a haircut. Because the nature of the Heter in the context of both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi sounds like we don't want anything to do with you. Get away. You're disgusting. You're disheveled. Stay away from us until you get a haircut. But if no one cares and no one says anything, so then there is no Heter. But he points out that that's not the case. That it Gaara is simply a simen as to what point the hair has grown too long. And that's reflected in the Ramah. The Ramah says, V'eino regal mahani impaga konishi garbo chaverov. Yantiv doesn't take the place of Gaara. It's if you hit a yantiv before you hit Gaara, you're not allowed to shave or get a haircut either. Ushir Gaara yeshbo pluksa v'nogim v'gimel chadashim. The practice is that the Shir Gar is Gimel Chadashim. So the Ramah doesn't say it's whenever someone tells you you're disheveled. It gives you an amount of time, 3 months. So that's the most possible assumption. The Birkei Yosef writes over here that you don't need Gar before, you don't need someone to actually tell you that your hair is too long. All you need is this Shir Gaara. So what's this Shir Gaara? The Ramah says, 3 months based on a maril. And Ramosha assumes that 3 months is simply reflective of twice the normal interval between haircuts. So if a person usually would go a month and a half without a haircut, so then the shiur gara is 3 months. If a person would usually go a month between haircuts, then it would be 2 months. So that's the machlokes achronim. Where do you count the 3 months from? 3 months from the last haircut, or 3 months from the beginning of Avelis? The Bavli Shulchan is machmir 3 months from the beginning of Avelis. I believe Rav Schechter said to be makel 3 months from the last time I got here. The whole point is the shear of how much hair do you grow to make it look disheveled. So then you would count that from the last time you got a haircut, not the beginning of Avelis. But Moshe writes that it all depends on where you live, what's considered the norm, and then what's twice the norm. So what happens after you hit the shear ga'ara the first time? So the Piskei Tshuva course in the Adnei Paz, then you could get a haircut whenever you want. Because once you hit the shear ga'ara the first time during Avelis, so there are no further restrictions. And the Rebbe Kiv Eger thinks that that's the mashmos of the Or Zeruah. But Rav Moshe assumes that the clock starts again every time you get a haircut. So then the Garis clock starts again. And if your normal wait between haircuts is a month and a half, you have to wait another 3 months. That's what Rav Moshe assumes. That's what Rav Schechter quotes from the Rav, that you have to wait another 3 months. Now, 3 months is as far as a haircut. What about shaving? So the Piskei Tshuva quotes the Tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda, that everyone knows that people shave nowadays more frequently. So if you shave frequently, then if you have a beard that you haven't shaved for 2 or 3 weeks, that's already a shiur gara. So the Noda B'Yehuda is 2 or 3 weeks, nowadays are arguably 2 or 3 days. That's where Moshe held, that whatever your normal interval for shaving is, so you multiply that by 2 or 3, and that's a shiur gara for an ova. So at least as far as shaving is concerned, so if a person shaves every couple of days, so once you hit shloshim, so then you could shave automatically at that point. You already hit the shiur gara, and then you just restart the gara clock for the next shave. So if you normally shave every 2 days, then you could shave every 4 days or something like that for the balance of the Avelis. Okay, so let's stop here. And Mirtz Hashem, by next Tisha B'Av, you'll be able to learn anything you want.
So how serious should the gara be? Because sometimes people, like I would go with somebody and say, oh, need a haircut, but whether they need it or not, how serious should it be?
Most folks can assume that you don't need any gara, that it's a shear for how long the hair grows. So Rav Yashiv was quoted as saying that l'chachili should have actual gara b'falo. And most folks can assume you don't need it. So if the shear is, as Rav Moshe says, twice the length of time that you normally go between haircuts, so whenever you hit that shear, you could get a haircut, even if no one says anything.
Gotcha. I had the problem when I lost my father. I went to Eretz Yisrael right afterwards on an exchange program in Soroka University in Be'er Sheva, and nobody knew me, so like I looked like a mountain man. But finally, somebody said, "Hey, Phil, you need a haircut."
All right.
Yeah, that, then the Ramah adds over here that for Aviv Imo, so the minhag is not to get a haircut for Yud Beis Chodesh at all, unless it's too heavy and low lesorach. That's what some people, you know, some people avoid getting a haircut the entire year. But that's definitely a double minhag. But Mikra Adin, you can rely on Gara. Okay.